grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We are supposed to love one another just as Christ has loved us. And that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Just look at all the hatred in our world today, and do I really need to point it out to you? Brother against brother, mother against son, neighbor against neighbor, this state against that state, and country against that country. Crying out loud, people, love them all, God does. Listen to this, because it's you who step all over those who are needful. It is you and I who ignore the poor until they're driven to despair. We look for the absolute next opportunity we can gain a dollar, and then our offering to the Lord is but a few meager coins. We take advantage of those who are less fortunate as we offer them our scraps, and seldom do we bring to mind that the Lord has solemnly sworn he will never forget your deeds. And that's not what I say, my friends. That's what the prophet Amos said in our Old Testament reading this morning. It's surely got to do with whether or not we show love to our neighbor. In our gospel reading today, Jesus speaks a long parable about a rich man and his manager. After maybe a quick cursory glance at it, one would get the impression the guy who got caught probably deserved to get fired, didn't he? But that's how you and I think. Law, law, law. Break the law and get punished. You should. Especially the law of God. And since we like to skip over all that condemning law stuff, we don't spend much time understanding this parable of Jesus today. It's a hard one. It's a long one. What we let slip by when reading this parable is the sweet grace that was shown to the manager. Even though he lost his job, mercy was cast upon him by the manager. Even as Jesus says, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You see, you too have graciously been made recipients of the mighty and awesome grace of God our Father Almighty. We've begun a study on Thursday nights. We've begun studying the Apostle Paul, trying to dig a little deeper into what he was like and ponder things that he wrote in all those epistles in the New Testament. And one of Paul's best friends was Timothy, a young pastor that Paul had taken under his wing in a very fatherly sort of way. So in our epistle today from 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul stoops down to give the young pastor in the church at Ephesus a little help in how to conduct himself among the new believers of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, Paul tells Timothy that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is how the church is to act. It's how it's supposed to. This is the love that we're to have for one another, to pray for them, to receive all the same grace, mercy, and peace that you've been given. It has to be this way. Because one, it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And two, it's because when you pray for your enemies, all people will know that you are Jesus' disciples. If you have love for one another. God loves you. You know that, don't you? And so do I. Really do. The truth is that when I first started here at Zion, it was a little difficult getting adjusted to being a pastor of a church. And all's not perfect now, but my goodness, you and I have a wonderful relationship, each and every one of you. It's wonderful. I personally found that by praying for each and every one of you, often, I found a love that has grown and grown, and it still keeps growing. It's not that we just got better acquainted or anything like that. And it's not that I just learned all of your names and such. A love grew within me. And it's what I tell other people all the time. I do. Very often, they say, how's it going there at Zion in Columbia City? You know what I tell them? I say, I'm home. I really do. This church just keeps getting prettier and prettier. And you ever wonder why that is? It's because of following our Lord's commandment that just as He has loved us, we're to love one another. You know, I just couldn't imagine a God that could care less about mankind. And our God is a merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. The psalmist once remarked, how precious is your steadfast love, O God? Yeah, He is quite a God. And He is our God. Now, we ought to look at this love Jesus has for me and you. For there is much for you and I to learn from His example so that we may love others as He has loved us. For one thing, the love that Jesus has for you and I, it's a very costly kind of love. The cross at Calvary was the epitome of humiliation and shame. There's no worse way to die than to be stripped naked, flogged, and then nailed to a splintery cross and hung up to suffer a slow death as a public spectacle. But then the cross was the epitome of glory for both the Father and the Son. To glorify God is to magnify or display His perfect attributes. At the cross, God's love, righteousness, justice, and mercy, and His grace were magnified as in no other occasion in the history of the world. At the cross, God's justice was upheld as His sinless Son bore the awful penalty that His justice demanded for all sinners, anybody that sinned. And oh my, Jesus died for me, and He died for you too. Jesus' love was a very caring kind of love. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus said, little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. we see Jesus' tender care for his disciples here, don't we? He addresses them as little children. It was a word of tender feelings, much as a father has for his little children who need his help and their protection. We also see Jesus' tender care for his own, in that he explains to them that he would be leaving soon. They could not follow him to heaven at that time. Although, as he explains to Peter and to all of his disciples, we will follow later. The picture again is of a caring father explaining to his children that he has to go away for a little while and they can't accompany him. But he promises that they'll be reunited later on. The point is, Jesus' love was filled with tender feelings for all of his disciples. You know that means you too. We then need to be reminded that loving our neighbor is a command love from Jesus. A new commandment he gives to you, that you love one another even as he has loved you, that you also love one another. In going to the cross, Jesus was obeying his Father's commandment. And now he commands his followers to love one another just as he has loved us. The fact that Jesus commands us to love one another means that you can do it. It's within you. There's no excuses for you to fail in loving one another. Why, you can't even do it by your own strength, you see. God's Holy Spirit has given you the ability to love each other. For the fruit of the Holy Spirit produced in us when we walk in dependence of the Spirit's power. But just as Jesus obediently sacrificed himself to go to the cross for our salvation, so we are obediently to sacrifice ourselves for the other person's good. Most important, I guess, is that we're to give. Receiving is so not nearly necessary anymore. Lastly, Jesus' love for you is a very committed love, in that he died for your sins and then ascended into heaven. He was sure to remind us that, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." That's a forever kind of love. A love that never quits. A love that never breaks down. It's a love that remains with you and your neighbor despite any other circumstance. Always and forever. Now, test. Hope you study. Because can you say that you express that love to every stranger that you meet? Can you say the love you show to others is dearly costly, as that you'd certainly lay down your life for your brother? Is your love shown to your neighbor as tender and caring as you would like to receive yourself? And is your love as genuine and real as that you have received from God, your Heavenly Father? Yeah. Love them all. God certainly does. Love each other. Show kindness and mercy as you've been given. Hold firm, will you? Hold firm to that love that while you were still a sinner, God sent his Son to die for you so that you could live and live forever and ever. And the death of Jesus Christ, it's as well for your brother, your neighbor, your mother, those who live in foreign lands, and those who live about this wonderful place we call home, in this country, and in this very church that I call home. We have this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.